You're listening to Now I've Heard Everything, interviews from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s with voices from the past.
We live with the idea that these guys have to get paid a tremendous amount of money in order to do what they do every Sunday, which is get the hell kicked out of them physically and give us a tremendous 3 hours of entertainment.
Actor and former NFL star Alex Karras today on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Bill Thompson. Alex Karras was a star on the field for the Detroit Lions in the 1960s. Then after that career ended, he tackled a new career challenge, acting. One of his most iconic roles was in 1974's Blazing Saddles. You remember him, he was Mongo.
Mongo stayed with Sheriff Bart. Sheriff first man ever whipped Mongo. Mongo impressed.
He was also on the ABC sitcom Webster. And along the way, Alex Karras was in the ABC TV broadcast booth for Monday Night Football. Now that kind of inspired his 1991 novel called Tuesday Night Football. It was a work of fiction. Of course it was. Now when we talked about it, he almost seemed kind of surprised at his own success as a writer. So here now, from 1991, Alex Karras.
How did the idea for Tuesday Night Football come to you? Was this something that you've been rolling around in your head for many years and say, I got to write a book someday?
Well, you know, I wrote a book for Holt, Reinhart, and Winston not too many years ago. I guess it has been quite a while ago. And I kind of enjoyed the idea of doing that, although it was an autobiography. I've always been a storyteller, and I've made, you know, a lot of appearances just telling stories around the country. And it was a great catharsis, because what I did was I finally realized that even though all my teachers when I was in school, in elementary school and high school and in college, said to me that I was very dumb and very slow, the idea of me being able to do this thing was a tremendous, tremendous image for myself. And I found out that I can actually sit down with a pencil and a piece of paper and write out stories. So it's been a pleasure for me to do that. So as far as this is concerned, this is a fictitious book. This is a novel. I could deal with fictitious characters. I have lots of characters in my head. I've met a lot of characters in my head, and I know a lot of characters, and I'm a character. So with that in mind, and plus the fact that a friend of mine and I wanted to do a feature film together, I've just gotten out of television, and my wife and I have a production company and blah, 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 blah. But the main thing is that we wanted to do something together. And he at that time was with a big advertising firm and wanted me to get involved with the advertising people to try to get something that wouldn't be offensive to a lot of people, because the reality of what happens in a book, if you keep plugging all these commercials, it gets a little carried away. Plus they're paying for this thing, you know, so. If I could get something that would be in between that and not offensive to people, but in a story form that would go throughout the whole book into different scenes, that to me was the accomplishment of what I did in this book, and the reality of what I did in this book, because the rest of these things is always something that I always take from, which is, yes, I did Monday Night Football, and yes, it was this kind of a relationship that I had with everybody over there. And yes, it was positive. And yes, we had lots of fun together. And yes, this is the character basically where all writers talk about. They have to get back to themselves. And I'm an actor and a writer, so I always have to get back within myself. So I'm not too far from the tree, you know, from Laszlo Horvath. So that's basically what happened.
But we're not to take this literally one for one, that so-and-so is so-and-so, so-and-so is so-and-so. These aren't precise parallels.
No, they're not precise parallels, and that's what I want everyone to realize, that I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not saying to the world, this is the only way it can happen, and these are these horrible people, or these are these great people. I'm saying, through a narrative, this is the way this book is, and this is who this guy is, and this is the fun that he has, and this is the humanities that he's dealing with, and basically that's what my book's all about.
It started out good, and it got better.
Good.
I'll tell you.
Well, that's good.
You hit a nice peak. Right.
You know, I don't have any feedback right now because it just got out on the market.
I got news for you. It's in no stores in town.
Yeah, I know.
I looked
not.
All over the place yesterday. I couldn't find another copy.
Yeah. But they're supposed to come out with 100,000 hard copies, which is unheard of. Michener doesn't get that occasionally, you know, so I was kind of happy about that.
Yes.
But I'm hoping that it gets back into some more stores than it has been.
But it's a funny, I found myself laughing out loud. Now, I don't laugh out loud at too many books.
Oh, good.
I laughed out loud at some of the parts in here where Simon's explanation of what kimosabi means. Exactly. And you know, the name of the Japanese blimp, and
good for you.
The little gags that get not just a smile. I smile lots of times, but I rarely laugh out loud with a book.
That's great. That's good feedback for me.
Now, people who've written funny books often tell me that the first time when they think of the idea, it's as funny to them as it is when we read it for the first time.
Always.
But then you have to rewrite it and you reshape a little bit. Then you tell it again and again, and you go through five or six rewrites and you tell it to each other back and forth. And by the time you've done it seven or eight times, you begin to wonder, gee, is this funny or what? I mean, it was funny the first time, but now.
That's true. That's true. But with me, a lot of these things that I've put in the book, I've used to use on the stand-up comedy when I used to do comedy all over the country. So I know the reaction immediately of what people liked and what people didn't. So I didn't have to edit as I went. I figured, even if I thought it was a little boring at times now, to put it down, I knew that eventually someone would laugh with this thing. And we didn't edit this thing, my partner and I. We just we went through it. And it's interesting, when we took it over to the publishing firm, he had it for 2 weeks, and said we called him and we said, well, what's the deal? He said, I don't want to edit this thing. Let's put it out. And there's some misprinted words in there, which is okay. That's me.
I'm embarrassed. I'm usually a very literate kind of guy, and you can usually catch those things. I didn't notice any.
Yeah,
maybe I figured you'd done it on purpose. If I did.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting to do that. That's basically what I'm all about.
And there's some very subtle little historical references in here, things that are really like on a third and fourth level subtle. I know Philip Morris. Philip Morris is a personal friend of mine, and you're no Philip Morris. I mean, this is the stuff that's something else that gets me to laugh out loud. Now, but I wonder if people will remember that 5 or 6 years from now.
I don't know.
It's very subtle indeed.
I'm glad that you've told me these things, because I'm like everybody else. I want people to say, boy, that was great. I'm like everybody else in the world. I like positive. And, you know, in the way we're doing everything today, it's all negative. So I try to do positive things.
After this short break, Alex Karras explains why all those commercials during a football game don't really bother him.
Start your day with Now I've Heard Everything.
We post new episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 5 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time.
Subscribe now so you'll have something fresh to listen to and get your day going.
Now back to my 1991 interview with Alex Karras.
Now, granted, this is all hyperbole. It's very exaggerated for comedic effect. But the picture you paint for us of what a professional football contest televised by a major network is really like is kind of frightening, kind of disillusioning to the fan, isn't it?
I don't think so. I mean, if you visually see Monday Night Football and what it is, which is three plays and then six commercials, we live with that. We live with the idea that these guys have to get paid a tremendous amount of money in order to do what they do every Sunday, which is get the hell kicked out of them physically, and give us a tremendous 3 hours of entertainment. Someone has to pay them. I can't do it. So we live with it. Let's put it that way. We live with commercials more. If it's a good television movie, I don't mind the breakup once in a while. If they have to sell it to things, I'm an American. I believe in it. Give me a good quality product, you know, and give me something for my money. That's all I care about, really, basically. That's the American way of doing things.
They're so well-done commercials, too, aren't they?
Yeah, they're brilliant commercials. You know, a lot of the great directors come directly from commercials, you know.
Is Laszlo somebody you know?
He's me, a little bit. He's me, and he's my mother, and he's people that I know. And as an actor...
You don't look like how I pictured Laszlo, though. That's why I didn't immediately think it was you.
It was interesting. Someone else said that to me. He said, isn't Laszlo a lot younger? I suppose he is, in spirit and every other way.
I also pictured him a lot, well... To put it charitably, a lot more out of shape.
A lot more out of shape. Yeah.
I mean, something maybe it was the way you described him early on. I got the impression he was kind of roly-poly, and you're not roly-poly.
I'm kind of roly-poly. I've been roly-poly all my life. My wife thinks I'm roly-poly.
Is there a phenomenon as being Laszlo? Can you Laszlo someone?
Myself?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can. All you have to do is smile. Go into a room and smile, and someone will pick it up. Haven't you ever been in places like that where you're kind of down and you go, oh, God, the world. And all of a sudden you see this person who's really sincerely smiling at you and says, God, it is so nice to see you today and mean it. There isn't much you can do about that. You got to smile. Yeah, anyone can Laszlo anybody.
I do have to ask you, there was a big article in Insight magazine 4 or 5 weeks ago. It's a magazine put out by the Washington Times, you know, the weekly news magazine. Big article, splashy article on celebrity books written by somebody else.
Yeah.
That the celebrity just slapped his name on because they figured it would be a good marketing tool. And people are going to look at this after having read the article. They figure, all right, it's by Alex Karras with Douglas Graham. They're going to figure, all right, Douglas Graham wrote the book. Alex Karras put his name on. He's going on tour because it'll sell more that way.
Yeah. I don't need the money. Thank goodness. And the other thing is, Douglas and I have worked together on other things, projects, especially television. He did the first two movies that my wife and I did. He's a good writer. He's got a nice style to his work. And we work together. Each page we work together with. And Douglas will tell you the same thing. And we're a good team together. I physically get involved with it. I don't add my name to anything I don't believe in. That's why I never did a beer commercial. Everyone says, geez, you've done every kind of commercial. Why didn't you do a beer commercial? I don't drink beer. You know, so I can't say, you know, this is great and mean it.
Maybe you could be the Energizer Bunny walking through.
We're going to put him in the movie. That's the truth.
Now, at what point will the movie come out?
Well, we're going to shoot it in probably at the end of January, and it'll come out the fall of 92 on a Tuesday night. Most movies come out on Wednesday or Friday. We're going to come out on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. See, this is a good read. Would it surprise you if I told you I read it in 2 days? It's a
you
fast
know,
read.
I love it because it's a fast read, and I'm not a great book reader, but I've been reading books lately, and in the last 10 years of my life, I read more books, and I find that if the person that I'm reading can give me something that I can get a hold of and enjoy, I'll sit there and read endlessly because now I have some time to do that. And if it's one of those books that, like you say, in 2 days, boy, I love those books, and I read a lot of those books.
You know, it also surprised me just a little bit when I first got to open up, see the title, see your picture, and I figured, you know, football from page one. And I figured, that's fine, with me, but I figured, oh, there goes all the women readers and things like this. And I was rather surprised to find that you don't even scarcely mention football for pages and pages and pages into the book.
Yeah, well, you know, the autobiography that I wrote was similar to that because I took my background and my family and my neighborhood and the people that I knew and had nothing to do with what the image of what I was all about. So people, when they would get feedback from people who would write me, they would say, I love the front end of the book. And that was from women and men, so that was fun. No, I don't write for men only. I write for everybody, you know. I like to talk about positive things. And this person is just really what this book is about, humanity is all it is. It's football has very little to do with it. We're not even going to show football in the movie, you know, all we're going to see is the back end of those characters doing what they do. So, yeah, I don't do much football. I've done so much football, I don't want to do it anymore.
Football been very, very good to you.
Very, very good. That was good that you you picked up on a few of the things that we like about the book, too. And
was it a fun book to write?
It was a fun book to write, and we wrote it during the writer strike, when everyone else was so depressed. We were hired in kites out on the front porch, just having the greatest time, and it was fun.
Alex Karras died in 2012. He was 77. Now, you can get a copy of Tuesday Night Football by Alex Karras by tapping the link in our show notes, or by going to our website, heardeverything.com. We may earn an Amazon commission if we make a purchase there. Now, while you're at heardeverything.com, don't miss my 1993 interview with one of Alex Karras's contemporaries in the game, the great Dick Butkus.
See, that's what amazes me about this legend business, because I just think what I did was normal. I just always felt, well, you know, this is the way you play the game. I don't think I've ever played a perfect game. I would never settle for it.
And my 1987 interview with the first Super Bowl MVP, and again, one of Alex Karras' on-field opponents, Bart Starr.
Playing with Green Bay, under the leadership of Lombardi, and winning so many championships in a relatively short period of time. We won 5 in 7 years. No one's ever done that.
And of course, we post new episodes of Now I've Heard Everything here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you can find us everywhere you listen to podcasts. And thank you so much for listening. Next time on Now I've Heard Everything, with Christmas just a few days away from now, in case you need some last-minute help entertaining and planning your party, planning your celebration, or if you would just like some advice on running a business empire, let's go back to my 1993 interview with Martha Stewart.
It has to be exactly the same or different.
That's right.
I don't vary recipes of family things, the family recipes. I don't vary those. But I do vary all the other recipes.
That's next time on Now I've Heard Everything. I'm Bill Thompson.